Okay, open your Bibles up to, they're not here.
Oh, okay.
I think they had to go to Midland.
Okay.
I think. Open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 2. Says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So that first verse says, if, circle that word, if thou wilt receive. There's another circle. See? God has given us His Word. He has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. He has given us everything freely with Christ Jesus. He's given us salvation. He's given us healing. He's given us protection. He's given us deliverance. He's given us everything. Now, if you will receive it. Don't say anything in the, anything at all. There's nothing that you can earn from God. Absolutely nothing. Jesus' work was a finished, perfect work. What He did on the cross was absolutely perfect. What He did in His death, His burial, His resurrection, everything. His passion, everything was perfect. We cannot add to it at all. All we can do is sit down with our Bibles open, find out what He says, and receive it. Amen? Absolutely everything is the same as being when you got born again. All you could do was believe that God raised Jesus back to life. You believed His word, didn't you? And then you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You received His salvation. Everything else is going to be the exact same way. You're going to have to believe it in your heart and receive it. So you'll confess it with your mouth. So you'll find out in the Bible where it says, by His stripes you were healed. So you'll look at that and you'll study it. You'll meditate on it. Remember in Joshua 1 chapter 8, He told Joshua to meditate on His word day and night so that thou mayest prosper, so that you will be able to do what it tells you to do. Amen? It'll get in your heart, so you'll do what it tells you to do. He said to receive His word. See, this is kind of a challenge for people. Because in order to receive something, you're going to have to believe it. And in order to believe it, you're going to have to camp on it. See, it's something you're going to have to see over and over and over again. You know, when we're kids, learning how to do our math, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, you know, and all that stuff, we're learning how to add. We had to see it over and over and over again, didn't we? We had to see it over and over. We had to practice it. You know, we had to start at the beginning, but first we had to learn how to draw one, you know. And then, you know, we think, man, are we ever going to get this? But the adults around us, they see progress. You know, I remember when we were teaching Anastasia her ABCs, and we walked up to a thing, and there was an O, and she said, that's an O. I know how to make an O. She identified it. She knew how to do it. See, we're the same way. But here's the thing. When we start getting familiar with the word, then we start personalizing it. We start receiving it. Then we start acting on it. One of the things, You know, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. We're the just, so we're to live by faith. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, talking to a lot of people, they act like faith comes by having heard the Word of God. You know, it's not something, you're not going to hear it once and get it. Just like you didn't see the math table once and have it. It takes us a little bit of practice. For some reason, we don't mind going through the world system and learning how to do our ABCs, our 1, 2, 3s, learning about science and learning about history, and then going on to bigger science and bigger history and bigger math. That just seems like the normal thing to do, doesn't it? But somehow, people get born again and they go to church and they seem to think that they can just kind of skip. You know, like you can skip one step, you can skip this step, you can skip that step. Yeah, I heard that and I go on to this one. That's not going to work. In order to receive His Word, you're going to have to know His Word, right? So we got some studying to do. So when we find, always remember this, whenever there's a problem, there's already an answer for that problem. You know why? Because the answer was established first. That's the blessing. The blessing was established first. The curse didn't come about until after Satan got Adam basically just gave the blessing over to Satan, said, here you go, when he sinned. But see, when he got a hold of it, all he could do with it was twist it, counterfeit it, but he's never been able to create anything. The blessing creates. So when there's something wrong, know this, it's because there's something right has already been established. So he said, incline your ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So in order to get understanding, in order to understand something, we have to sit there and look at it. We have to study it for a while, don't we? You know, there's some really, really brilliant people that can read something really, really fast and understand it. But most of us have to read it and look at it, study it, go over it again. Amen. It'll take us a little while. But understanding what we're looking at is important in order for us to receive that word. Now, go down to verse 5. It says, we'll go to verse 3. It says, if you cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So right there he said, if you'll seek this understanding like you're seeking a hidden treasure. And actually, once you finally understand that, once you get an understanding of the Word, get a revelation of the Word, that's better than any treasure you have. Treasure comes and goes. But the Word is what causes that treasure to come. I liked what one guy said. He lost, he was a very, very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man, and he lost it all just almost overnight. Just boom. He's in the oil field. He just lost everything. And somebody said, why aren't you down about this? He said, I know how I got there. I got there by the Word of God. I'll get back there. It's not, his whole dependency was not on his treasure. His dependency was on Jesus and His Word. So I know how I got there. I'll get back. It's not a problem. He wasn't sweating it at all. He lost millions and millions and millions of dollars overnight. And it was just almost like it just wasn't even a problem for him. He knew how he got there. He still had the map. See, the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. And out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1 real quick. No, Psalms chapter 1. I'm sorry, Psalms chapter 1. Says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law does he meditate day and night. See, that's Solomon's dad that just said that. So evidently Solomon paid some attention to what David was saying at some point. Right there is the fruit of it. He said, the Lord gives wisdom. He said, don't go seeking it from the counsel of the ungodly. So who's the counsel of the ungodly? You know, our world is filled with ungodly counsel. We call them doctors. We call them lawyers. We call them politicians. We call them bankers. Sometimes they're called pastors. There's all kinds of falsehoods out there. People in these important positions, you know, they say they have credentials. You know, just because they have credentials doesn't mean they're credible. So you got to understand that. Just because somebody has credentials doesn't mean they're credible. See, these reporters for CNN, they have credentials. They're not credible. They have credentials, but they're not credible. There's pastors running around promoting gay marriage. They have credentials. They got some kind of a diploma somewhere, some kind of an ordination somewhere. They have credentials, but they're not credible. So it doesn't matter what kind of a plaque they put on the wall saying they graduated from this or that, that doesn't matter. If they're not a credible source for information, you don't need to listen to them. So how do we figure out if they're credible? Do they line up with the Word of God? Are they transparent? See, that's a really really good indication whether somebody has credibility. If they're not willing to let you know what they're doing, they're not credible. See, that's why these politicians make all these backdoor deals. That's why they're crazy. They're not credible. They have credentials, but they're not credible. Now, the Lord gives wisdom. So that's where our wisdom is going to come from. And out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Didn't Jesus say to take his yoke upon him, upon you, and learn of me? To take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So we go to Jesus and we learn of him. We learn from him. We learn about him. That's knowledge and that's wisdom. See, that's true Bible wisdom, and that's the light of the world, and you'll notice that the light is overtaking the darkness. I know it looks really dark right now with all the craziness in the world, but if you step back and look at the whole picture and see what's not happening, you'll notice that the light's overtaking the darkness. It's really a fun time to be alive right now. There's a lot of exciting things going on. And there's a lot of people that are just completely freaked out about it, and they shouldn't be. But they're just, people have this ability to just zero in on one object. And that's all they focus on, and they don't see nothing else. They miss the forest for the trees. And it just causes them all kinds of wreckage. Now you need to be able to step back and look at the whole thing. See, the Lord, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way for his saints. So right there, he's telling us he's our buckler. He's going to preserve our way. You know, the Bible tells us that the word is a lamp unto our feet. When we know the word, we can walk that straight and narrow path. But in order to believe in something, you're going to have to know it, right? I've noticed there's a lot of people that will believe almost anything that comes across their path. It's sad. They will believe almost anything. And what happens is the government and these evil people will psyop them, and they'll hear something really freaky, and then they'll just go off on a tangent, and they'll believe it. They'll believe it. Even though these people have no credibility. Now let's go down to chapter 3. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now there's a reason for that. I know that we're, you know, once we got born again, we got brought into this covenant of grace, and we're not supposed to be keeping the law, but we do have a law of love and a law of faith, and we have a law of liberty that we need to keep. But here's the thing. People think that because they're under grace, they can just go be a complete idiot. I've seen that a lot. That's not the case. You don't get a license to sin. You know, with sin, there's always consequences. But know this, it's not God punishing you. There is a devil out there. There is a devil out there. And you can get out there into no man's land. And God is not obligated to protect you when you hit the full-blown idiot button. See, I've noticed people, I've seen this picture again, of this monkey with a stick sneaking up on a lion. Going to hit him with a stick. That is people in general today. They're always poking trouble. They're poking trouble. They go poke trouble, and then when trouble wakes up and attacks them, they go running back to the pastor, and they say, why did God do this to me? See, God didn't do this to you. See, we, a lot of times, create our own misery. And sometimes the devil actually helps us. There's an influence there, but a lot of times people are their own worst enemies. And they don't even know it. And the number one reason is they don't get grounded in the Word. They don't get grounded in the true gospel of Christ. They don't get grounded in that light and life and truth of the Word of God and His wisdom. Here's a fruit of not forgetting what He told you to do and keeping His commandments. He said, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Here's a basic thing. There's a lot of people that run around trying to keep the law, and they fell miserably. And that's not what Jesus wants us to do. That's not what the New Testament tells us to do. But the New Testament does tell us to believe the love that God has for us and walk in love, doesn't it? It definitely tells us to do that. And here's the thing. If you're walking in love, you're not going to be bowing down to other gods. If you're walking in love, you're not going to sleep with your neighbor's wife. If you're walking in love, you're not going to steal your neighbor's milk cow. If you're walking in love, you're not going to go murder your neighbor. Notice I said murder. That's what the original commandment says, thou shalt not murder. And I've seen people completely freaked out. They come in and they think they can't be forgiven because they killed people, soldiers. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I killed people. I said, well, you was in the army, weren't you? He said, yeah. I said, did you know that the original Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not murder? See, to murder somebody, that's just, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. You just went in there and did that. But you have to understand that sometimes in order to bring mercy and freedom and peace to somebody, you may have to go kill somebody to make that happen. I'm not a big fan of killing, but here's the thing. If there's a small country, a small group of people that are just getting annihilated by some evil country that's stronger than them, God has to send somebody in there that's stronger than them to stop that. You know, this country is set up on a freedom basis because some good men, a bunch of them were pastors, some good men did violent things in order to stop some evil men from doing even more violence. That's exactly what happened in this country. Some good men did violent things to keep evil men from doing even more violent things. This is one of the reasons it's so important to not twist or change the Word of God. There's a lot of people that could be walking in a lot more freedom if they knew that. A lot of soldiers that could have more peace of mind. They would know that they didn't just murder somebody. They were fighting. It said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So the only way you're going to get that done is to meditate on the Word. The only way you're going to get it on your heart, we call it a rhema word, we call it a revelation, is to meditate on His Word. You know, everybody's got to start somewhere. You know, the first one I had to remember was Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10. You know, I sat there and I looked at that and I said, I do. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Why did I do that? I was already born again. Well, because I got born again, somebody come up, told me, said, you didn't get born again right. They said, God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. It's religion. It's just absolute nonsense religion. But it forced me into the Bible because I had to go find out what I believed and find out why I believed it. I had to go find it in the Bible so I could have an anchor for my soul. Because that shook me. That rattled me pretty hard. But once I got that in my heart, nobody could take that away. Once you get a revelation of His Word in your heart, you got it. Nobody can take it. Not even the devil. Nobody can take it. If you got a revelation of it in your heart, if you got an idea in your head, that can be scrambled overnight. But a revelation in your heart, you can have that peace in your heart even though your head is completely chaotic. Amen. Verse 4 says, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Wow. There's a lot of people that are trying to earn favor. But right here He gave us the direction. He said, don't forget my law. Don't forget my commandments. He said, let mercy and truth, don't let mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them upon your neck. And then what's the fruit of that? Thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. How about that? Now you already fell into favor. You already fell into favor when you got born again. In fact, you became his favorite kid when you got born again. You might not know that, but you are truly his favorite kid. And he loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with. We have to understand that. We have to believe the love that God has for us. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is where we're going to have to maybe write some things down on a piece of paper. Said, okay, I need to get better because I got a bad sickness. And the doctor says this and this and this. God says this and this and this. Where do I stand? See, we got to locate ourselves. We got to find out where we're going to be. Good news is that God can use doctors to heal people. Did you know that? I'm not anti-doctor. I'm not anti-medicine. Don't ever mistake that. See, but it's important if you come in to church and pray for this sickness, if you're praying for a miracle, don't go running to the doctor. If you're praying for healing, then come into agreement that these doctors will make anointed decisions for you and that the medicine won't make you sicker. Did you know you can pray over medicine? I would. Some of that stuff. Whew. But I've heard of people praying over chemo, praying over it, and it didn't make them sick. I actually have known a couple people that didn't lose their hair from it. You know, they were, women, it really bothered these two different times. They were going to go for chemo, and that was they were worried about their hair. See, that's their glory. They have a glory. Their hair is their glory. It's important to women to have hair. And I know that. So I said, well, you don't have to lose your hair. They said, well, everybody does in chemo. I said, not everybody. So we can pray. We can pray that this chemo doesn't take your hair. And it didn't take their hair. Amen? You can pray for it to not make you sick, but actually do what it's supposed to do. But, you know, God is coming out with some stuff. You know, he's bringing some stuff into the light that's been hidden from us, that's way better than anything that man has created. And I think we need to start paying attention to that. You know, one of the biggest travesties that ever happened to the herb world, the natural medicine world, was King James in his book of demonology, because he just went in there and bastardized these herbologists and called them witches. And so he had it so bad to the point where if you even talked about herbs or anything like that, the Christian world would just jump up in arms and call you a heretic. God gave us herbs. You know, herbs are his idea. Herbs and minerals are his idea. He came up with that. He didn't create anything to hurt us. We need to think clearly. There are poisons out there. But the thing is God has taught us how to use these things, and we've lost it. Now we're remembering it. It's coming back. So we need to think about some of this stuff. Think about why it is they don't want us to have some of this stuff. Right here he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. We got this idea that we have to understand absolutely everything. You know, we can't even understand what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, we got some ideas. We got some work plans. You know, maybe got some basic ideas. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know what's going to happen tonight. We have some plans. But for us to think we need to understand absolutely everything about everything, that's crazy. What would be wrong with saying, Jesus, you know the beginning from the end because you are the Alpha and the Omega. I cast this care over onto you. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know how to take care of this. I'm not going to lean onto my own understanding. I'm going to cast it over onto you, throw myself on your mercy, and ask you to show me what you want me to do. What would be wrong with that? That's a good idea. Actually, it's a God idea. A good idea is something people think up. A God idea is something God told us to do. There's only one O. That's the difference between a good idea and a God idea is one O. And that one O can cause a lot of problems. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So there we are. He's talking about health again. And it's in his word. It's in his word. And actually everything is in him. We can just trust him. I loved what one guy, I read this account and I thought it was just amazing, but there was this orphanage and they had a lot of kids. And anyway, the guy, the pastor that ran this orphanage was in his office, and somebody that worked there came in there and said, we don't have any milk to feed these orphans. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? And he said, I ain't going to do nothing. Those are God's kids. He'll take care of them. Well, lo and behold, a milk truck tipped over and right over there by the orphanage. So they had to get rid of this milk. So they went out there and they got all this milk for these orphans. That's what he did about it. You know, people like to run around and say that God is in control, but they don't ever want to let him be in control. See? Think about it. When you run into a problem, it says, what are you going to do? You say, I don't know, I'll come up with something. So you're in control. There's not anything wrong if somebody comes up and ask you, what are you going to do? And say, I don't know. I've had clients do that on projects. They come up to me and say, what are you going to do about this? I say, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I say, I don't know. We don't have to have the answer right now. We can do something else. I'll get to it when I get some clarity on this. You know, sometimes I'll just ask God and say, I don't know how to make this work. Show me, and I'll go on and do something else, and then he'll give me a clear idea to go get it done, and we'll go get it done. It's okay to say you don't know. You don't have to know everything. I don't know. This might be a newsflash to some people. You don't know everything, so just get over it. Amen. We don't know everything. God does. So we can lean on him. We can lean on his wisdom, his understanding. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for